Welcome to New City. My name is Kevin Ha. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. I want to encourage you to look at the email that I sent out yesterday regarding the year-end offering. And you know, take the time to consider what your giving was in 2020 and whether you know, God is calling you to make a year-end giving. And also, I want to encourage all of you to be a part of the Christmas Eve service and the Christmas service. We haven't had those in a while, but this year we felt like, you know, God is really calling us to a Christmas Eve and Christmas service. And so I'm pretty excited about it. So please make the time to join us for those services. Today, we're going to conclude our Advent series, Unto Us a Child is Born. So we've been looking at Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. In particular, we've been looking at the four names that this promised Messiah will be called. We talked about Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And today, we're going to talk about Prince of Peace. So today's sermon is creatively entitled Prince of Peace. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 6. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in a land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in a day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors, every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I'm going to read another passage in the New Testament from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So we're going to focus on the phrase Prince of Peace, as I said. The biblical word for peace has a lot of different dimensions: personal, social, relational, economical, national, international, and we can talk about this in so many different ways, but today I want to focus on personal peace. I want to talk about how we can experience inner peace. It goes without saying, I think, that all of us want inner peace, but it's really hard to find it, right? There's so much stress, turmoil, conflict, confusion, guilt, bitterness, resentment, worries, insecurity, violence, politics, racism, injustice. You know, it's really difficult to experience peace in our hearts. And things get even harder during the Christmas season. There's a lot of stress related to Christmas. You know, just trying to make our Christmas just right for our kids. You know, we have that kind of vision of a Hallmark Christmas and trying to buy that right gift. And in the pandemic and COVID, everything is more difficult. Even the simple decision of going home for Christmas is creating anxiety among family members, creating conflict. And it gets lonelier during the holidays. People get more depressed. Peace can be so elusive for so many of us. So the question is, how do we experience real inner peace? So what I want to do today is to look at the text and talk about some mistaken ways to inner peace and the right way to inner peace. And I'm going to spend some time doing a spiritual exercise to help us move towards that peace. So let's first of all talk about some mistaken or wrong ways to experience inner peace. The most common mistake that we make to peace is to see peace as a result of our circumstances being just right. It's sort of like a, stack of stones. You've seen that on the beach in different places. Stack of stones just stacked just right, just in a right balance. And we see, if everything in our lives are going well, if our family is going well, if it's going the way I want to go, then I have this sense of peace. If my job is just right, I have the right supervisor, the right pay, right kind of job, the right skills and the right promotion, right coworkers and the right review and just that, job security, then I have peace. And if my relationship with my spouse, children, parents, extended family, friends or coworkers, or that woman or man that I like, or my boyfriend or girlfriend, if all of those relationships are going well, then, and there's no conflict, if everyone is meeting my expectations, then I have this sense of peace. If people respect me and think that, I am somebody important, and if they love me for who I am, love me, and I love me for who I am. If I have not been ashamed by other people, or I'm not shaming myself, or I haven't done anything really wrong, then I have this sense of peace. If I have everything I need, if I have enough money, with an ample cushion, if I have a house, if I have a car, if I have this or that, then I have peace. If I'm healthy, if I don't have COVID, if I'm of certain weight, if I'm beautiful, if I'm liked, if I'm approved, if people think that I'm really a good person, then I have peace. Or if the world is just, fair, egalitarian, if there's no injustice, no racism, no violence, then I have peace. Problem with all of these things is that we really can't control our circumstances, right? Things go wrong all the time. We go wrong. People do things that upset the balance. These stones don't just stay exactly right. So we try really hard to control the circumstances, but often we can't. We can't just try really hard and we get frustrated, and we can get controlling, we can get demanding, and we can get angry, or we get worried, we get anxious, we get bitter, we build resentment towards people and even towards ourselves. And sometimes we begin to hate others or even ourselves. It'd be great if all the circumstances of our lives were positive, but the reality is that it's not. We all get sick. We all have conflicts. We all experience pain. We all experience death. If our inner peace depended on our circumstances, our peace would at best be temporary. Our lives would go up and down, ending up being filled with anxiety. This is not the way to peace. I think another mistaken approach to peace is to desensitize ourselves to our troubling circumstances. Let us drink and be merry. Life is hard. Let's just take a drink and forget about the painful circumstances of life. Forget about the broken marriage. Forget about the bad job performance. Forget about the suffering. You don't even need substances to do this. You can just train yourself to deny your problem. Just put them under the rug and don't deal with them? Why care about all the problems of the world? Caring about justice is just frustrating. Why not just limit what we care about so that we have more peace? As they say, ignorance is bliss. You know, this is not real peace. So let me ask the question, how then do we experience real peace? So Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, the passage we read today says that the peace that God gives us transcends understanding. And like Kevin Raleigh said today, it means that it doesn't make any sense. It's not based on circumstances, just being right. You have peace. If you have peace because of right circumstances in your life, your peace does not transcend understanding. Think about where Apostle Paul was when he wrote this letter to Philippi. He was in jail waiting for an uncertain future, possibly even execution. His circumstances were pretty bad. The fact that he experienced peace means that the peace he received transcended understanding, beyond logic, beyond circumstances being just right. So, okay, then what kind of peace transcends understanding? How do we get this peace that transcends understanding? The passage here says that the peace that is in peace that transcends understanding is in Christ. This just really important word, in Christ. The peace in Christ transcends understanding and guards your heart and mind. What does that mean? You know, this phrase in Christ is a very simple phrase, but it's deep in meaning. To be in Christ means that your identity, your foundation, your life, your significance comes from being in Christ. Now, let's think about this for a second, because we hear this phrase all the time. We don't even know what it means, but just want to take some time to think about what in Christ means. What would it mean if I say, what does it mean to be in Kevin, you know? It means that you get all the detriments and the benefits of being Kevin, right? That's what it means. When the Bible says we're in Christ, it's saying that we have all the challenges, privileges, and benefits of Christ Jesus. What happened to Christ Jesus happened to us. So let's say that this book was Christ, and I am in this book. Let's say this is me. And so I am in Christ, right? So whatever happens to this book happened to me. That's what it means, right? To be in Christ. So when he was crucified, you and I, we were crucified in Christ. That's why Paul says in Galatians chapter 2:20 that I have been crucified with Christ. When he rose from the dead, you and I also rose from the dead. That's why Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, that we were raised with Christ. When God the Father said to Jesus, "You are my son in whom I am well pleased." If you and I are in Christ, God is pleased with you and me because we're in Christ. We are accepted, validated, affirmed, loved, and embraced by God in Christ. There is no condemnation in Christ. You are forgiven in Christ. It's not based on our performances. It's not based on our works. It's not based on how good we are. It's not based on how everything is. All the circumstances being right. It's based on this amazing grace of being in Christ and his affirmation, approval, validation, and love are unshakable. As I shared last Sunday, he is the everlasting Father who loves us forever. He never changes. He is the rock that never moves. We can bank on him. We can invest our entire life on him. We can lay our foundation on him. This means that our identity comes not from our circumstances, not from the approval of others, not from how much stuff we have, not from how successful we are, but from God who says we are loved and accepted. And that is a gift. And when we do that, we can experience this unshakable peace that transcends understanding. We can experience him as the Prince of Peace. I know some of you might be saying, wait a minute, Kevin, I believe in Jesus. I believe he's the Prince of Peace. But I'm not experiencing this peace that you're talking about. I think it's one thing to believe and another thing to live into that belief. We can believe that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, but live like I am the Prince of Peace. To the degree that you surrender your life to him, that is the degree to which you will experience this peace that transcends understanding. Let me give you an example. You know, I have a Chevy Bolt. It's an all-electric car. I love this car. It goes like 250 miles per charge. And this electric car has tons of power because all the torque is available right from the start. And when it runs, it barely makes any sound. There's no gas engine sound. I love the color, the metallic gray that my car came in. And if I believe that my car could do all these things, but if I don't actually get in and drive it, I would never experience any of the benefits of the car. It's one thing to believe that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. It's another thing to live under the reign of the Prince. It's one thing to believe in Jesus. It's another thing to die and live in Christ. It is when we die and live in Christ that we experience this peace that transcends understanding. So how do we die and live in Christ? How do we live with Jesus as the Prince of Peace? I want to lead you to a spiritual exercise that I find helpful. It's called the river exercise. In a way, this spiritual exercise is a spiritual exercise to prepare you for death. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to prepare ourselves for death. We have to die in order to experience this peace that transcends understanding. Jesus told us to take up our cross and follow him. Paul says we have been crucified in Christ. Remember, we talked about that. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, that in Christ Jesus, my Lord, I die daily. And then Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him. And this is something that I want you to remember. Here's the key to inner peace. Here is, if you forget a lot of stuff that I said, it might be very obvious, everything I said. But here's the key to inner peace, according to the Bible. It is to die daily. It is to die in Christ, to things that have the potential of becoming the source of life significance and meaning outside of Christ, so that we can live in Christ. Die to ourselves daily so that we can live in Christ. Live in his life, in his significance, in his identity. You know, we often try to live in Christ without dying to ourselves in Christ. So how do we do that? I want to ask you now to sit up straight, put both feet flat on the ground, and take a moment to become aware of the presence of God among us. So I'm just going to give you a moment in silence to do that. I want to ask you to pray and listen to the Holy Spirit as you ask this question. What areas of your life have the potential to become your source of life significance and meaning other than in Christ? Now, these are not necessarily bad things. They're all usually good things that could become our source of life significance and identity. And I want you to take some time to write down five areas of your life that have the potential to become a Christ replacement, a source of life significance and meaning. So I'll be quiet in a second, but let me just help you and give you some categories to think about so you can think this out. What are you most passionate about? What does your dream life look like? What or who do you love the most? What scares you the most? What do you pray for the most? What is your most important self-image? Now, these questions will help you kind of think out this question, the primary question: what areas of your life have the potential to become your source of life, significance, and meaning other than in Christ? I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to think about this. Thank you. Now, imagine yourself on a sandy bank of a river. Okay, just follow me on this. It's a quiet river. There's a dock there with several rafts tied to it. And imagine that Jesus is standing right next to you. But next to Jesus, you also see the first thing that you wrote down on the list that we just thought through. Take that, you know, imagine that that load, you know. For me, I was thinking about something that I'm most passionate about, something that could potentially become a source of my significance is my work, especially in the church, the success of the church, the growth and community, all these things just I'm passionate about. There are great things. I believe that this is my call, but they can be a source of my life significance and meaning. And so I see the church, and then I'm asked to take that and then put it on a raft, put it on a walk towards the dock and put it on a raft, and then let it go. Let it go down the river, and then let it go to the churn of the river until you can't see it anymore. So whatever it is, will you take a moment now and take that item, whatever you visually imagine as representing that thing, would you put it on that raft? And would you let it go and say goodbye? Because, you know, like I said, this is sort of preparing for our death, right? So when you die, you have to say goodbye anyway. And again, this doesn't mean you don't care. But we're letting it go as a source of life and significance. That's what we're doing. We're letting it go. Will you take a moment to let go? Just visually imagine putting that load on a raft and let it go down the river. And then
Devin, you're muted.
I'm sorry. I don't know how long I've been muted, but now you're going to turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, you are enough for me. You are everything to me. Say that. Next, we're going to take another item. Take the second item on your list. And imagine that whatever symbolizes that second item, you're going to put it on the raft. Then you're going to let it go. For me, second item is my reputation, sense of approval, people thinking good about me, people thinking that I'm a good preacher, I'm a good pastor, a good person, that sort of reputation. It's a good thing to have a good reputation, but I can get my source of life and significance from it. So I'm going to let it go. I'm going to die to that. So I can put my reputation on the raft. And then I'm going to let the raft go down the river. It's going to make a turn. I'm going to let it go until I don't see it anymore. Would you take a moment to do that with your second area in which there is potential to get life significance and meaning other than through Christ? And then would you turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, you are enough for me. You are everything to me. Look at the third item on your list. And we're imagine something that symbolizes that third item. And move it to the raft and let it go. For me, the third item might be, you know, financial security. Just stuff, my house, my car, Chevy Volt. Just things, you know, that I have to sustain me and my family. And so we're going to take all that stuff. I'm going to take all that stuff and put on a raft. Untie the raft and let it go. I'm going to wait until it disappears in the bend of the river. Would you take a moment to do that? And then you're going to turn to Jesus once again. And you're going to kneel down in front of him and say, Jesus, you are enough for me. You are everything to me. And then now imagine that which symbolizes your fourth arena. Of something that could be a source of life, significance, and meaning for you outside of Jesus. And for me, that's those are my friends. My friends here in the church, my friends outside, my friends from college. I love them. but they know what's going on in this exercise, and I ask them to move towards the raft. Even their opinion of me, their approval of me, I'm going to put them all in the raft. And I'm going to let them go. Because like I said, when we die, we have to say goodbye to everyone. And so this is an exercise in death, death to ourselves. So we're going to say goodbye and let them go. Would you take your fourth item and put it on a raft and let it go? Then we're going to turn to Jesus and say to Jesus, Jesus, you are enough for me. You are everything to me. And then we're going to get the last item on the list, the fifth item. And imagine what symbolizes that last item, and we're going to put them on the raft. And for me, that's my family, my kids, my wife. You know, I'm not saying that we're, because of this exercise, we're going to let them go and not love them anymore. But as a source of meaning, significance, and life, we're going to let them go. We're going to die. And so asking my kids to get on the raft, asking my wife to get on the raft. I'm going to let them go, untie the raft. I'm going to say goodbye. Would you take a moment to do that with your item? And after you say goodbye, you're going to turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, you are enough for me. You are everything to me. You are enough for me. You know, when we die, we leave everything. But in Christ, we die so we can live. You know, I know it's really hard to say that we would leave our spouse and children, but that's what will happen when we die. Let's let go. This, as I said, this doesn't mean you don't care about that anymore. You don't love them anymore. It just means that you're not getting life and significance from them anymore. And here's the irony. It is when we let go and let them stop being a source of our life significance and meaning, and Jesus becomes our life significance and meaning, we actually love them better. We're no longer trying to suck out life from them. We're receiving life from God and have something in us to give even when we're not receiving from them. And when we give, even when we're not receiving, it starts a virtuous cycle, you know, opposite of a vicious cycle. And when we die like this in Christ, we have the freedom to live in Christ. You're no longer held in bondage of approval of others or power or comfort or control, all these things. You don't need any of these things to feel significant. You don't need that job to be significant. If you let go, you have the freedom to do the best you can without needing to stab anyone in the back, without lying, without faking it, because if you lose it, it was never a source of significance in the first place. So you can be more brave about your life. You're not going to worry about losing that which you have already let go, that which you already died to. And that's how you experience that peace. When you begin to live by His grace, live by His love, live by the identity that comes to you from Him, live in the confidence that is in Christ Jesus, that in Christ Jesus, we could be confident that we're somebody. Free from the worries of all the circumstances because you let them go. You died to them. Now, this is not something that you do once and, you know, you let go and that's it. This is a daily process. That's why Apostle said that in Christ, He dies daily. That's what he said. In Christ Jesus, our Lord, He dies. I die daily. I want to encourage you to pray this imaginative prayer of releasing all that competes with God for your life significance and love. And learn to die so that you can live in Christ. And as we do this, as we're in Christ, we experience peace that transcends understanding. Join me in a word of prayer. Lord, I've shared what I felt like you wanted me to share, but there's a lot of dimensions of peace. There are a lot of questions that remain about meaning of peace. But Lord, just this one part. Just this one part of what it means to be in Christ. To die with Him, to live with Him. To die to ourselves and live with Him. Lord, will you help this church get this? Will you help this church let go? Let go of even the good things of life. Will you help us to die to ourselves? So that we can live in you. And you told us that this is the way of peace. Peace, not the peace that the world gives, but the peace that Jesus gives. Not the peace that's based on our circumstances or our denials, or desensitization, but peace that transcends understanding, peace that actually helps us to love better, helps us to seek justice better, helps us to bring your kingdom to this world better. Guide us, O Lord, by your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.